Hey everybody, I want to look today at the 20th chapter of John, starting in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So remember, this account of Jesus appearing to the disciples, actually these two accounts, but this first account appears on the same day that Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. And this is, both of these are when the disciples are gathered. So they're gathered on Sunday all together, and Jesus appears to them. And I think in part that speaks to the fact that Jesus does want to appear to us, to manifest himself to us when we gather as the people of God to worship. I think that's part of what we're to take away from this passage. Notice a couple things. Whenever Jesus appears in their midst, he says peace to them, shalom, the end of hostilities, the end of the sorrow and the conflict that came from Jesus' death and his apparent loss. Jesus repeatedly comes and says peace. This is reminiscent of the beginning of all of a lot of Paul's letters. He says peace and grace to you. So it speaks of what Jesus brings to us in his resurrection, peace. As we gather in his name, we need to remember that he speaks that over us and gives that to us. Notice, too, that Jesus speaks very directly to probably a lot of their questions. Remember, when they saw him walking on the Sea of Galilee, some thought it was a ghost. Probably there were some thinking, maybe we're seeing a spirit or something, and Jesus makes it very clear. Here are my hands, here's the scars, here's my side. He shows them his body. We can say two things about Jesus' resurrected body. It is the same body in some sense because it has those scars. Yet it is a transformed body. It apparently can go through locked doors. It is different. And this is the glimpse, the only glimpse. We get these few glimpses of what the promise of our resurrection bodies will be like. They will somehow be us. They will be the same body, yet transformed and taken through to the other side of death. Notice, too, that in all of the post-resurrection encounters, Jesus comes and appears to them. He helps their faith, but he also gives them mission. He says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And it's remarkable that God would pin the salvation of the world on the life of one person, namely Jesus. But it is also remarkable that he pins the mission of the message of salvation on feeble disciples. But he does. "I'm sending you." And the key is the giving of the Holy Spirit. And this rhymes with the gift of the Holy Spirit as we see it given in the book of Acts. I believe this is John's take on the gift of the Spirit for the mission of the church. And remember, this is always about the gathered people of God and their mission to the world to lift up the name of Jesus. It's not really about our personal experiences. But I do believe the focus of this passage is on Thomas. Now, Thomas, I think, gets a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas, and I don't think that's fair. I think that we have this account of Thomas and his doubt because the Lord takes our doubt seriously, and he doesn't judge us for it. I think Thomas was a sincere follower of Jesus with honest questions, and I believe the Lord answered those questions. So I don't think we should look at Thomas as somehow a lesser disciple. We don't know why he wasn't there that Sunday, but he's with them a Sunday later. And of course he says, well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. But again, I think God is honoring the questions that Thomas has and the doubts that he has. And so Jesus appears and he speaks directly. He doesn't provide a logical argument to Thomas. He says, all right, if you want to see, if you want to touch, here you go. The time is at hand. And notice what Thomas says. He says, my Lord and my God. Now, if you pay attention in the Gospels to who gets who Jesus is, and if you pay attention in the Gospel of John in particular, actually, Thomas is the first to make this full declaration of who Jesus is. Without going into great detail, he gives him the two names that are ascribed to God in the Old Testament. One, which is God's name given at the burning bush, as we sometimes pronounce it, Yahweh. And the other is the kind of more generic word for God that is translated from Elohim. Thomas, in this moment of revelation, gets it. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we are told the Word was God. And here at the end, we have this fitting ending with this disciple who had doubts, finally, as the Lord accommodated to his doubts, recognizing the fullness of who Jesus is. So it's a beautiful cap to the Gospel, and it's a beautiful personal expression of Thomas's faith. So again, I don't think we should see Thomas as a subpar believer. I think we should see Thomas as a believer with questions. And Jesus honored those questions and met him in those questions ultimately. And then notice too that I think the point of this account being in the Gospels is to assure us who haven't seen Jesus like Thomas did that our faith is blessed too and that God can handle our questions if we want to bring them to him. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us who have heard the message, have read it in these pages, have seen the risen Lord, as it were, in our gathered worship around his table, and received his presence in the Holy Spirit. And so it's an encouragement that God can handle our doubts and he wants us to bring those to us, but that he wants to bring us out of our inward turn and turn out toward each other and toward mission to the world. Lord bless you. Amen.